On this day, Hadar has agreed to meet us for an interview. She's a small, thin woman dressed in a black trouser suit. Hadar has brought along her daughter, her two granddaughters, and her one-year-old great-granddaughter. The story she tells us is horrific. It contains many details that even her granddaughters didn't know before this day. In August 1945, Hadar was living with her parents and her four elder sisters in a house that was barely a half mile from the point where the bomb hit. On the morning of August 6th, her parents had already left the house to go to work. She and her sisters were eating breakfast. Suddenly, there was a flash of light, followed by a tremendous explosion. That's all Hadar remembers of the blast. She lost consciousness. When she came to, she found herself trapped under a collapsed wall. Her sisters were trapped too. Suweko Hadar was 7 years old when this happened.
Eventually, I managed to claw my way out from under the rubble. By now, our house was on fire and the cries of my sisters were getting fainter. I left to look for help. When I went outside, I saw that everything had totally changed. Although it had been a beautiful morning, it looked like twilight now. Everyone was injured, badly injured. No one was helping other people, they just looked after themselves. I myself was bleeding from a neck wound. There was blood all over the white clothes I was wearing. I wanted to return to the house, but I got lost. The landscape had totally changed. I didn't know which way to go. The only thing I could do was to follow the other injured people. Still to this day, my sisters' voices haunt me. I can hear them saying, "Please, call for help." That's the most painful thing, that I ran away from my sisters. I've felt guilty about this since that day. I'll feel guilty as long as I live. I'll never be happy.
None of Suweko Hadar's sisters survived. Hadar herself was in a daze. She was utterly unable to comprehend this new world inhabited by frightening-looking strangers.
I didn't recognize anyone, so all I could do was follow the others. I saw terrible things. There were people with their eyeballs hanging out of their sockets. There were others whose cheeks had been ripped open from the corners of their mouths to their ears. I saw a young mother running with a headless baby on her back. I saw someone else with his belly ripped open and intestines spilling out. Most of these people looked like ghosts. It was truly a vision of hell. But pretty soon I got used to seeing these things. Everyone did.
Hadar eventually made it to a makeshift camp outside of town. She stayed there for a few days.
More and more injured people were being brought in every day. I just waited there, always hoping that my parents would come to pick me up. But then, suddenly, the refugee camp was shut down because the military thought it would be targeted in air raids. I had nowhere to go. A soldier took pity on me, gave me some money, and told me to take the train to his grandmother's house. But on the train, a woman stole all my belongings. Then someone else offered to take me to my elementary school. There, I met one of my teachers. He'd returned to the school to look for missing students. It was the first time since the A-bomb had hit that I'd come across anyone